Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Current Issues, the radio show. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. Today, ladies and gentlemen, on this afternoon, we will be speaking about John Sharp. And I will have joining me very soon Stephen Snegoski, who was one of the authors in the books that John had published. John Sharp is a Catholic, and I'll have Steve talk about him in a little bit more. So we will introduce John Sharp to you and what happened to him. He's a lieutenant commander on the Carl Vincent, who recently was suspended by the Navy because of connections with supremacist groups and anti-Semitic accusations. Of course, anti-Semitic, we have talked about what this word actually entails, and it's a super weapon that can be used against anyone they choose to hit him with. And like I said, it's a super weapon, so a lot of people are afraid to be titled anti-Semitic, and that's why people will not speak out, because it might have some to do with Israel or the neocons, or as a matter of fact, anything that has anything to do with power these days, you really can't talk about, because you will be somehow touching the Israeli-Jewish issue, and it doesn't matter what you say, you will be titled, you will be given the title of anti-Semitic, which basically will destroy, as it has destroyed careers, it has destroyed people's lives for so many years, and I really don't know what can be done about it. 99%, probably, I have been in this business for a long time now, and I have met a lot of people from all kinds of, from all shades of life. People on the extreme left, people on the extreme right, and to tell you the truth, I would say 99.999% of those who criticize Israel, they are not anti-Semitic. I probably met one person in the last 10 years who I might really say that he hates the Jews for just being Jews, and I'm being honest when I say that 99.99% of those who criticize Israel are not anti-Semites, but 100% of those who criticize Israel will be shot with this particular super weapon of anti-Semitism. With us, Steve Snegoski, and of course we do welcome your phone calls. We will be talking about not just this particular subject, we'll be talking about probably everything that is going on in the Middle East these days with Steve. Steve Snegoski, he holds a PhD in American history from the University of Maryland. And we will be right back after the break with Steve Snegoski. So sit tight. We'll be right back.
Headaches. Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727. 0727.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am Hisham Tilawi, and with me is Stephen Snegoski. As I was saying earlier, Stephen has a PhD in American history from the University of Maryland with specialty in American diplomatic history. He has authored numerous articles dealing with World War II and the war on Iraq and political philosophy that had appeared in so many publications like Modern Age, Current Concerns, The Occidental Quarterly, and The Last Ditch, and many others. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you very much, Hisham. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.
Once again, I might say, I enjoyed my other times you allowed me to be on your show. I had a very enjoyable time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Steve has been on my TV program a few times before, and I can tell you we will hear nothing but the truth from Steve. As you are as an RBN listener, this is probably the only free press left out there without any strings attached to anyone. Steve, I want to start with John Sharp. He was suspended recently from the Navy. What is going on? Tell our listeners who John Sharp is and what happened to him.
Well, John Sharp is a Catholic publisher, more of a traditionalist Catholic. He was republishing a number of classic Catholic writings, but he became concerned about the fact that many Catholics seem to be supporting the war in Iraq, which he correctly perceived as a violation of Catholic just war doctrine. So he thought, in this case, instead of republishing an older work, he would ask some experts in the field to write on the war on Iraq. So it's a two-volume set that I think got him in trouble, Neocon and Neocon Again. The Neocon volume, in large part, focuses in on the concept of the just war, in essence, that the American attack on Iraq was not a just war because the United States really was not attacked by Iraq or even threatened by Iraq. It was just a war of aggression. This would not only be Catholic just war doctrine, but of course I think part of international law was the major crime actually charged against the Nazis at the major Nuremberg war crimes trial. His other volume, Neocon Again, deals less with the idea of the just war, but just as an overall anthology of articles dealing with the war in Iraq. Not some of them deal with the neocons, some of them do not. I have an article in that one dealing with the neoconservatives, Israel, 9/11, and the origins of the war in Iraq. But there are other people far more important than me who have articles in these works. People like Noam Chomsky, Robert Fisk, Alexander Coburn, Kirkpatrick Sale, Justin Raimondo. So it's a pretty significant number of important people have articles in these books. They're not what one would generally consider to be anti-Semites. In fact, a number of them, like Chomsky, Paul Gottfried, a couple others, actually happen to be Jewish. But I think, as we've seen, simply being Jewish is not necessarily a defense against the lethal charge of anti-Semitism.
So basically what John has done is he collected or asked these authors to write these articles, and he edited them in two volumes.
That is correct, yes.
That's basically what he has done. And like you said, some of these authors are well known. I believe Charlie Reese has an article in there too. And this was a couple of years back, or actually this was like he started his publishing company in September 2001, right after,
Well, book actually I think has a 2005 or 2006 publication date.
Okay, but John started his publishing company back in 2001. And then what happened? Because of these two books, what happened?
Well, I think in large part, these books caused somewhat of a stir, and then there were investigations into, there were a number of people commenting on the web, on the internet, in regard to things he'd said in the past or his personal associations that were allegedly anti-Semitic. And then the Southern Poverty Law Center got involved, and they dug up a number of things. It seemed like guilt by association loomed pretty large. People ridicule, that Joe McCarthy ruined careers by looking at making charge on guilt by association. And it looked like charges against Sharp are much vaguer than that. That he would know somebody, or he would sell books at a particular event that allegedly was anti-Semitic, but it really wasn't tied with anything that Sharp, really had done significantly in that one would consider anti-Semitic. And I might even emphasize that the Navy rule or the Navy law that he was allegedly claimed to be violating is not something about anti-Semitism. It's belonging to a supremacist group. And how one jumps from, even if something were anti-Semitic, though I don't, that's such a vague charge, I'm not sure, how this, what this actually means. This is a nebulous charge. But how that relates to belonging to a supremacist group is totally ridiculous.
So, I mean, you know John very well, and What supremacist group are they talking about?
I really am not able to make any connection there. You know, even if they felt these articles or some article or something he said was unfair against Jews, a negative charge that was inappropriate, even were that the case, I can't see how that fits in with supremacism. I think you might note that many people have said rather negative things about Arab countries and Arab peoples, and sometimes the Palestinians have even been criticized by Americans.
Oh, that,
but
that,
I haven't noticed anybody being charged with belonging to
yeah.
a supremacist
well,
group for holding any of those views.
Everything and all people are fair game, except when it comes to the Zionists and the Jews, of course. That's a red line that no one should, in today's conditions that we live under, that no one should even come close to. So this charge of belonging to a supremacist group, but of course the main charge that everybody's talking about out there, the anti-Semitic charge.
But I might say, just to reemphasize, though, there's no in the Navy to punish him. It has to be connected with some Navy Regulation 1167, which states that no person in the naval service shall participate in any organization that espouses supremacist causes.
Well, that's
so you see,
pretty much
a big leap from you published a couple books that somebody
right.
doesn't like to jumping to belonging to a supremacist group.
Well, I think belonging to supremacist groups, then that would probably take about 90% of Jewish personnel in the Navy and in the government, if we are to really talk about supremacism here.
Well, I don't think the Palestinians are treated equally, even in Israel proper, much less in the occupied areas, and certainly
of course.
Many people in the United States who support Israel. So presumably, if we had a fair world and we're really applying these things literally, that you're correct. I think that would bag us quite a few people.
Right. Now, what is happening, Stephen? Are we going to see a country similar to a dictatorship here, even though we're supposed to have democracy in this country? Are we seeing there are some protected, I don't want to call it, a segment of the population, but it looks like we have a protected idea, which is the idea of Zionism. Why can't we have a debate in this country about our relationship with Israel? Because everything that we are dealing with now, from 9/11 to Afghanistan to Iraq to Iran to anything that is going on in the Middle East, it has to do with Israel. What is happening here?
Well, the Iraq study group that Baker and Hamilton headed, of course, wanted to deal with this issue. But, of course, that fell through. George Bush opposed accepting their advice.
Okay. Well, we'll pick up this after we come back from the break, and we welcome your phone calls, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the mark of the beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes, and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Current Issues, the radio show, and with me is Steven Snigoski. We are talking about John Sharp, the Catholic publisher, who is also a lieutenant commander on the Carl Vinson, who was recently suspended from the Navy. And you're welcome to call in at 800-313-9443. Steve, you mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center, who recently issued a statement that says that John Sharp and the traditional Catholics, citing them as the biggest anti-Semitic group in the world. The name Southern Poverty Law Center, is that a deceiving name? I mean, when you hear that name, you think it's like a social organization. What is the Southern Poverty Law Center?
I think one of their fundamental activities is to ferret out what they deem to be hatred in the United States. Racist views, anti-Semitic views, and they are pretty heavily funded in doing this. And to a large extent, it looks like they rely on hearsay evidence. And it's not that people violate laws, but they really have the effect of destroying people's reputations.
What's their relationship with the ADL?
Well, I'm not quite sure. You know, they do follow a similar agenda, because the ADL too doesn't just focus on anti-Semites, but people that are deemed racist. But again, I would say the Southern Poverty Law Center is probably somewhat more to the left of the ADL, though the ADL is on a little, you know, somewhat on the left too. But on the other hand, they don't attack right-wing Zionists. Seem to be pretty well protected. So
whatever it suits them.
But again, the attack on Sharp, and I might also emphasize they would tend to go more after less important people. I don't think they hit anybody real important. I mean, Jimmy Carter got a lot of lambasting, but he's too powerful to eliminate his center or whatever. Whereas people like John Sharp, you know, are just, you know, not very significant people in America. So the lower down people in the United States, it's easier to intimidate them, to have them removed from jobs, because one terrible thing in America is that employers, even the U.S. Navy, really don't want to protect people. If they think there's going to be some bad press, somebody will complain, they prefer to get rid of that person as opposed to defending that individual against slander.
Okay. Now, are we ever going to see, because, you know, at one time, we as Americans and America has to sit down and think about this relationship with Israel, because it seems like everything we have been dragged into, like, for instance, the war in Iraq, and I know you wrote about it, and you wrote that it was a war for Israel. Isn't it time that we sit down and talk about this relationship with Israel?
Well, I think it is essential, and like I said, even the Iraq study group, you know, important people like Baker and Hamilton did touch this subject in, you know, not as directly as I have done it, but, you know, the realization, they pointed out that the issue of Palestine is crucial to peace in the Middle East. And that in order to bring about regional peace, it's essential to settle this particular issue. Of course, the neocon position is to remove Israel's enemies first. The argument made is that the issue of Palestine can only be settled when the Palestinians no longer have any support from any outside country in the region. So, you know, my interpretation of that, if the Palestinians are totally left without any external support, they would be more apt to give in to any demand, any type of offer that Israel would make to them.
So why wouldn't Israel just get rid of those enemies on its own? Why do they have to drag us into this?
Well, I think in part we know that this was brought up to Israel in the clean break scenario, which was given to then incoming Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in 1996. Some of the authors of that study were Richard Perle, Douglas Feith, David Wormser, the same neocons who were directing American policy in the war in Iraq. Well, they did call for Israel to try to destabilize its enemies. Basically, the idea would be to break them up, to weaken them. But, of course, Israel is sort of shy about doing that because Israel, of course, is not a great world power like the United States. It has nuclear weapons, but it's tiny in size. It's more difficult for Israel to achieve these things compared to the United States.
Very good. We'll continue after the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. when they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson Music Shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website EarnMoneyAtHome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues, the radio show, coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Steve, you Hesham, I'd like to comment just a little bit, add to something I just said about Israel's ability to fight the Arab and Islamic states.
Sure.
There also does not seem to be strong public support in Israel for any type of major war. I think we saw that with Israel's attack into Lebanon this summer as a result of resistance by Hezbollah and the loss of a few, you know, I think 80 Israeli soldiers, a large number of whom were reservists, were killed, and the missiles flying into or rockets flying into the northern part of Israel, the Israeli people really didn't want to expand this war. The neocons, however, were quite critical of the Israeli government for being wimpy, I guess would be the word. They weren't pushing the war hard enough. They should attack Syria, but Israel just wouldn't go as far as the neocons would have liked Israel to go.
You know, you mentioned in the Lebanese war, and recently John Bolton, who used to be the American ambassador to the United Nations until recently, he was on a BBC interview recently, and he said they were talking about the ceasefire. If you remember, it took about a few days, a couple of days before we had a final ceasefire, which basically the United States put pressure on Israel not to stop, but actually to continue. And John Bolton said that he was, and I'm quoting him, he said he was damn proud of what was of what we did, which is to put pressure on the Israelis to bomb the heck out of Lebanon, which they dropped more than 130,000 cluster bombs, all of it made in the USA. And these 130,000 cluster bombs, it contained 1.2 million cluster bomblets. You know, for those who don't know what a cluster bomb is, it's just a bomb that has a lot of, it has hundreds of little bombs in it. And not all of it will end up exploding when it hits ground. And a lot of people have died even after the ceasefire, and even after, until today, people are still dying from these cluster bombs. Why are we boasting about that war? And when I say we, the United States government, why is John Bolton boasting about what we have done in Lebanon?
Well, of course, John Bolton is a strong neocon. He's not Jewish. He's Gentile. Maybe this would be a demonstration of his bona fides, that maybe he even goes a little, maybe he seems to be even a stronger, more avidly pro-Israel or hard line than the average neocon. But of course, the whole war in Lebanon, we know, didn't focus on Hezbollah. Israel was bombing bridges, water reservoirs, electric plants, gas stations, mosques, hospitals, gas stations, really the infrastructure and cultural structure of Lebanon. So it really was to look like the effort was to wreck the entire country. Now, I've heard one argument was that this was to teach Lebanon that you better oppose Hezbollah or this is going to happen to the entire country. I'm not sure if that was the purpose or not, but the upshot of it was the Israel's attack went far beyond just dealing with Hezbollah. But of course, when Israel army did attempt to deal with Hezbollah, they faced quite a lot of resistance, and the public was concerned about the loss of Israeli lives.
Okay, you also mentioned earlier the clean break document, the strategy for securing the realm that Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, and others had written back in 1996, which is basically intended for the Israelis, but they had also written a document called the Defense Planning Guide or Guidance back in 1992 that George Bush the father had basically rejected at the time. But they came back in the year 2000 and they wrote the Project for the New American Century by these same people, and in this particular document, it was tailored more towards the American psyche as if it was an American advantage to go ahead and go into the Middle East, but at the same time, weakening the enemies of Israel and removing Saddam Hussein from power was an Israeli strategic objective in its own right, as it was written in the clean break document. So it goes way back.
Right,
and
if I can just add, it went back to Oded Yanon's paper back in 1982. Yanon, a Likudnik Israeli.
I was going to mention that.
Okay.
Yes, I was going to mention that in the 1980s. It had basically spelled out most of the Arab countries and said that there are some fault lines in these countries. If we can inflame these fault lines, and for instance, they had taken Iraq and said the fault lines were between the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Kurds, so we can, if we remove Saddam, we can break up the country into three different states, weakened states. Now, so it shows that really 9/11 had nothing to do with why we went to Iraq, and of course now the whole world knows that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11, and they did not have the weapons of mass destruction. So the only other logical explanation is this Zionist neocon plan to destroy the Middle East and weaken it for Israel. So in your article, this war for Israel, is this, are we on the same wavelength here?
Well, let me just add here. I can't check the neocon, look into their minds. Some people are so ideologically oriented that they may get the two countries confused, or what's good for Israel is good for the United States. And sometimes they'll even say that the interest of Israel is the same as American interest. So I'm not saying they intentionally sought to harm the United States. That was the impact. But I would say they definitely view American foreign policy through the lens of Israeli interest. And of course, this whole policy, which we were going to democratize the region, and it's nothing that Israel ever believed. When Israel was thinking of breaking up these states and having ethnic groups battle ethnic groups and religions battle religions, that's exactly what happened. So it did fit in. What has occurred has fitted in with how the Israelis perceive the situation, what the neocons fed the American people about democracy blossoming and an era of happiness in the Middle East. You know, all of that turned out to be completely fallacious, and I think anybody who knew the Middle East, which of course the Israelis do more than most Americans, knew exactly what would happen from the American attack on Iraq. And of course the neocons emphasized the World War IV scenario, so the attack on Iraq was only going to be the first step to American attacks on the rest of the Israel's Middle East enemies.
Okay, something else happened though, that with all these documents that we have mentioned and the people who worked on these documents since early 1990s, like Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perle and others, they have become in very extremely sensitive positions within the first administration of George Bush, which took us to war to Iraq. So they planned it in the 90s and executed it when they had the chance to execute it. How would you answer this particular fact that these people who wrote these plans actually became in executory positions to execute this plan?
I think that's definitely true, and the significant positions they held dealt with the bogus intelligence. For example, Office of Special Plans in the Defense Department under Feith, which
right.
came up with a lot of the information, phony information coming from Shalaby. And also we know the vice president's office, which included not simply Cheney, who's been very close to the neocons over the years, but also Scooter Libby, who's now gotten in a bit of trouble, sentenced to jail. They put pressure on the CIA to sort of orient its information to fit in with the idea that Saddam had these weapons of mass destruction that were threatening to the United States. So yes, the neocons, Secretary of State Colin Powell referred to, the separate government. You know,
right.
They were pushing the country into war. Colin Powell, for some time, did resist, but in the end, for whatever reason, he went over to the war side and backed the neocon plan. But the neocons were pushing the war from even before 9/11, but after 9/11, you know, they kept pushing it, you know, as hard as they can, against some resistance from the State Department. Even from the CIA, Tenet wanted to focus on Afghanistan. So it wasn't, the neocons did have to use their power in the Defense Department and that is the Defense Department, the civilians there, because the military tended to be against the war, but the civilians, the with Wolfowitz, with Feith, and also in the vice president's office, those were the people who basically, the forces in the administration who were basically able to push America into the war in Iraq. And I might say it was unfortunate, but President Bush, who did not come into office as being pro-neocon, he seems to have been converted to their cause. And it seems like now President Bush believes that this is his purpose in life, to destroy terrorists and bring about democracy to the Middle East. So he's become a true believer, but he's had the neocons presenting their case to him. And it seems like he was very susceptible to the neocon message. I might just add that, you know, if we'd have had a different president, let's say if Jimmy Carter had been president, I don't think the neocons would have been effective as they were. So, you know,
well,
so I can't
I mean, they tried. They tried with Bush the father, and they tried with President Clinton, and they were not successful.
They were not successful. So it's
but
not
now you said that George Bush came into this, and then he changed into that direction. But if you remember the project for the new American century, Jeb Bush was one of the signers or the signatories on that document. So the family was involved somehow in the project for the new American century.
But the upshot of it is, you know, Bush the elder, the George H.W. Bush, our former president, was apparently against this war, as was his major cronies like Brent Scowcroft, who went public with his opposition. And we know James Baker, who, you know, also from the Iraq Study Group and some previous comments, he wasn't as open, as public, as was Scowcroft, but he was also cool to the war. So I think if Bush the Younger had had his father's advisors, which many people thought would be the case, the United States would not have gone to war. But somehow Cheney was, people didn't realize how close a pro-neocon he was, and Cheney was able to play a major role in bringing the neocons into the Bush administration. And of course, even then, they would not have gotten their way had it not been for 9/11, which just caused the American people to be fearful and angry, and the Americans really didn't know the difference between Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. But this fear and anger over 9/11 made the American people very susceptible to supporting any type of war in the Middle East to get back at our enemy. And I might just say my last point here, I even hear congressmen today talking about our enemy in the Middle East, and they seem to connect Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, the Islamic government, the Shiite government of Iran. And if one knows anything about the Middle East, we know that all those groups have opposed each other. But even people in Congress don't seem to realize, you know, much about the Middle East.
Now, Colin Powell, he made a statement that talking about the government, the George Bush government, and said it is packed with the Jinsa crowd.
Yes, yes.
Talking about the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs. And so we know that his government, the majority of them, were basically Jewish, the majority of these people, even though the heads, I mean, they were very clever with having the heads, such as Rumsfeld, Cheney, because some people will say, well, what about Cheney? What about Rumsfeld? What about the president? These are not Jewish, but people not realizing that the rest of them are basically Jewish, I don't know, you know, this new term, the neocons, but you mentioned that the neocons, they're not all Jewish, and some of them, the Gentiles, might be, they may, you know, you said you're not in their minds, you think, you know, they may have thought about the interest of the United States. But if I look at the interest of the United States when it comes to the Middle East, there's close to 290 million Arabs, if not 300 million, of nothing but consumers of American products. So definitely we want to be on the good side of these people. And also they happen to have a product that we want, which is oil. And in addition to that, the interest of the United States is not to be the bully on the block, but to actually, you know, we managed to build a reputation in the last 200 years of being a good country with great people. Now, if I look at the war now, and we'll pick up this after the break, if I look at the world does not see us like that. So America has lost a lot due to this war. We'll pick up this point when we come back from the break and welcome your phone calls.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And this last segment of the first hour, we're speaking with Steven Snegoski, who will also be with us in the next hour. Steve,
If I could just make a comment on what you said about...
Yes,
isn't it ridiculous from the position of American interest to support Israel over the Arabs into and the other, you know, Iran and the Islamic countries. It's not an American national interest to do that. And I think that was brought out in this war. The oil companies, you know, contrary to the anti-war left, were not pushing for this war. They actually wanted to end the sanctions on both Iraq and Iran. And most of the leaders of the old American foreign policy establishment, such as Brent Scowcroft, Jim Baker, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and many others, were at best cool on this war, and some were openly hostile to the attack on Iran, and we also know, Iraq, and they're also against any attack on Iran. So you're absolutely correct. Those foreign policy experts who understand the situation are against such wars in the Middle East. However, it seems like many members of Congress and even political writers in the newspapers don't know too much about the Middle East and actually were tricked by the WMD lies and the terrorist lies, and also the idea that if America went in, it would bring democracy in the area. So that propaganda, produced largely by the neocons, you know, does have an effect on people who are, you know, not too expert on the area. And, of course, we know that they probably wouldn't, if the propaganda were totally worthless, they wouldn't be producing it, but they produce it, and it does have an effect.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned oil, because it really pains me when I hear some people in this truth movement concentrating on the oil factor and thinking that we went and attacked Iraq so the oil companies can get richer, and that's basically the main reason we went, and they will not touch the Israeli Zionist reason there, and they stay away from it. But really, if you're going to be in the truth movement and not look into under every rock to find out the truth, then you should not be in this movement if you're going to be limiting yourself to certain truths and staying away from certain facts. So I agree with you. They are missing the ball completely.
And I might just add, the oil companies, along with the old or traditional American foreign policy establishment, has always sought stability in the Middle East. Now, that doesn't mean they always support good people. They support dictators.
Stability.
But stability will enable oil to flow, and there won't be any problems. And, you know, but to actually to have everything in chaos, that's not the best condition to get out oil.
Very good, Steve. Stay with me. We'll be gone for about a couple of seconds here, and we will be right back with the second hour of Current Issues, and we welcome your phone calls. This is Hisham Tilawi coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be right back.